everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace.
And this is Nick.
And this is a Hunt for Wolverine Spotlight episode. We're going to be talking about The Claws of the Killer, number one. It came out on the 16th of May, and it's the third number one, the third of four limited series, which are basically telling the story of different factions hunting for Wolverine's missing body. So this one is written by Mariko Tamaki. Pencils are by Butch Geis. Inks are by Cam Smith. And colors are by Dan Brown. What were your overall impressions for this one, Nick?
This is my least favorite of them. But I don't know. It's still pretty interesting. The zombie thing at the end is kind of like, okay, I guess we're going that direction now. But it's fascinating that we see Logan, maybe.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. Like right away, I'm like, this is by far my least favorite of the three. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the second time I read it, I was like, well, maybe it's not as bad as I remembered it. There were some interesting things there that I'd forgotten. So I guess in a way it's like, well, I read it. It didn't leave a big impression on me. And I kind of forgot. And then when I read it again, I was like, oh yeah, zombies. Oh yeah. Some kind of conspiracy thing going on. So in a way it almost felt like there was like two distinct storylines going on. One as advertised with a group of villains that all have ties to Wolverine joining the hunt for him. And then some other story that's going on that we have really no clue about, right?
The dialogue's far more interesting the second time when they're talking about just putting bodies on the field and stuff.
Yeah.
And they go into even more zombie detail, like shuffling or something.
Yeah, and the no healing factor thing. So anyway, yeah. The story starts out, we're in Maybelle, Arizona. I live in Arizona. I've never heard of Maybelle, Arizona. I don't even know if that's actually a place. Population 343. So basically it's a wide spot in the road. And then we flash back to 1 week ago. And we see some people at a gas station / bar, I guess, watching sports, playing pinball, drinking. And as they're all there, the power goes out. So it looks like somebody's got to call Larry down at the power station because there's only 5 minutes before the next game's going to start. And we see there's actually, as the scene shifts to the power station, there's already a repair truck out there. It looks like the handle is sheared off. And one of the guys says, you think it froze off? Dude, it's 60 degrees out here. You think stuff freezes off at 60 degrees? Like, it's metal. How would it freeze off anyway? And then they hear a noise. What the crap was that? They go inside. They look for Larry. Larry's sitting there. He's dead. Even has a little X over his eye kind of thing, like old school cartoon. They say, who the heck are you? And yeah, it from all intents and purposes, looks to be Logan. I mean, he's there in a flannel shirt, t-shirt, jeans, got his claws out, and then proceeds to kill the two repairmen. And we see Maybelle emitter installation complete, location ready for Soterra Kill Team 9 to secure and document. The scene shifts back to the bar, power's back on, and then we see Wolverine click a button, and it looks like some green stone. I mean, could it be one of the Infinity Stones, maybe? Don't know. Anyway, he pushes a button, and a green light emits. And we see the people in the bar start bleeding out of the eyes and screaming. And then I guess we're back to present day because it doesn't say back in the past anymore. But we're in Manhattan, New York, in Chester's bar. And Dakin walks in, orders a whiskey neat, sits down with Lady Deathstrike and Sabretooth and says, talk. And Lady Deathstrike says, something's happened to your father, Logan. Says, my father, the one who's in a giant Logan-shaped glob of metal, that father. And Lady Deathstrike proceeds to tell him about how the Reavers broke into the metal grave and it was empty. And Dakin's like, did they want a toy with a rotting corpse? Like, what exactly was going on? And Sabretooth responds that the word is that his daddy's not rotten. And so Dakin says, you know, it was a rumor. I did my own research, or actually Sabretooth rather. It was a rumor until I did my own research. He's not in the grave. He's moving. So Dakin says, you guys think you're crazy enough to try to put him back in the grave? Are you really that crazy? And so they kind of come to blows. Dakin and Sabretooth, clearly there's no love left between the two. I mean, I don't think any of these three really care for each other, but they agree to team up because it's basically the means to an end, right? Lady Deathstrike says, this is pointless. Dakin may have daddy issues, but we all want the same thing. We all want him dead. And Dakin says, well, no one wants him more dead than me. And Sabretooth's response to that is, that's what you think. Now shut up and listen. And then we see, again, another flashback, Mayville, Arizona, 4 days ago, population zero. So apparently whatever Logan did killed everybody in the town. And we see some soldiers there, Team 9 reporting in. Sotera Control acknowledges kill Team 9, proceed. All 334 subjects terminated. Initial test result negative, findings inconclusive. Proceed to the next stage. Again, we get a picture of that green glowing piece of machinery. And Lady Deathstrike talks about the fact that killing Wolverine was her birthright, but another death found him, and now he's escaped death, and so she's going to take this opportunity to kill Logan herself. And so, they all hate Logan so much, I kind of want, like, they all want him dead, but they all want to be the one to kill him. Like, how is working together going to accomplish that, right? They all want to be the one to make the killing blow, so they agree to team up. And they head to Maybelle, Arizona, because that is where, using data from military satellites, Lady Deathstrike tracked the adamantium signature of Logan, or at least one similar to him. So they get there. They remark about how quiet it is. Sabretooth remarks that he smells something, and Lady Deathstrike says the equipment is malfunctioning. I have a signal, and I've had a signal for the last 25 miles here. But they can't necessarily pinpoint him. So they agree to split up. And Sabretooth says, but I'm taking the keys. So Dakin walks into the bar and steps on some dead bodies and sees some soldiers there. Says, who the heck are you? And pulls his claws. Says, talk or die. And before he can do anything more, he gets bitten on the leg by what appeared to be a dead person. And then all of a sudden he's surrounded by zombies. And he says, effing zombies, a whole town of effing zombies, what's happening? And then he notices that the bites, where they're biting him, they aren't healing, like normally his heal factor would. And then we get one of the soldiers saying, this is 9 reporting in, partial but unsuccessful reanimation. Also reporting an intruder in Sector 5, Test Ground 1. And it looks like the zombies are about to tear Dakin apart. And that's where the issue ends. So, yeah, there's a couple of interesting things here. Like, okay, what the heck is this Sotera Kill Team 9? What zombies? What's the weapon that Logan triggered? Why is Logan appear to be working for these guys? Why isn't Dakin's healing factor working? I mean, there's a lot here. It's like Tamaki just kind of threw us into the deep end here. Like, what's going on? That's not to mention the fact that I still can't get over, like, how are Sabretooth, Lady Deathstrike, and Dakin going to work together? Because as I mentioned, they all want Wolverine dead. They all separately want Wolverine dead. They all are going to want to be the one to kill Wolverine. They don't particularly like each other. I don't really see them working together as a team very well. But really, I think that the biggest mystery is, so was that Wolverine we saw? And clearly, if it was Wolverine, he's not in control of himself, right? He never would kill 343 people. But zombies and a Wolverine comic, like, I don't know. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, I agree. Like we said earlier, it's my least favorite of the three we read. I really do, though, enjoy, I don't know how it'll work going forward, but I enjoy at least a diner scene with those three, like, Weapon X type characters seeing a diner scene together. Brother, yeah, personal complaints about Wolverine and stuff coming to the surface.
Yeah, it was an interesting take. What'd you think of the art?
I couldn't really put my finger on it with this one. I didn't really have a strong opinion about it either way. It was my least favorite art-wise, I would say, of them two. I don't know. It's a more unique style than typical comic book, I would say.
I mean, it's Butch Geist. I remember the first time I saw his work was on Flash, and his poses were so much more dynamic back then. I don't really feel like he's offering us much here. I mean, the art almost seems kind of bland to me, if there's a word that I could describe it. And I also think part of that has to do with the coloring.
Yeah.
By Dan Brown. It's a very muted palette, like a lot of gray and purple and brown. I mean, even the green of whatever this weapon is that turned everybody into zombies, even that's not really a bright color. Like, normally I think color is very additive to a story. Rarely do I feel like color does a disservice, but I feel like the coloring in this book does a disservice. Like, maybe the art isn't as bland as I think it is. Maybe I'm going to blame it on this color job. I mean, it just doesn't seem to be the kind of book that needs to be this drab. That's like the perfect word for it. It's just so unexciting. These are zombies. These are people, supervillains on the hunt for Wolverine. It should be dynamic. It should be bright. Because there are some scenes as I'm flipping through here of Dakin when he's in the diner and he's going up against the zombies that are pretty pleasing to the eye as far as the layouts, the panel layouts and the fight scenes. But it just loses so much impact because the colors are just so blah. So I'm very curious as to why they chose to do it this way. I mean, was it clearly a choice from Dan Brown? And if so, did they not go back to him and say, dude, you gotta like brighten this up, but give it some variety. Cause honestly, your eye gets tired of seeing the same color palette over and over without any, without anything that really brightens it up. So I don't know, very, in my opinion, very subpar art, but again, that's mostly down to the coloring. Oh, I do find it interesting. Like I went to see who did the art. I didn't remember after I read it. I was like, oh yeah, it's Butch Geist. I'm like, wait, I would not recognize this as his work. His style has really evolved quite a bit over the years. I mean, when I'm talking about him first being on Flash, that's like early Wally West Flash when Mike Baron was writing it. So that's like, 1988, 87. I mean, it's way back when, like 30 years ago, Butch Geist. So it makes sense that his style would have evolved a little bit since then. Anything else you want to say about the issue?
I think this one obviously involves Wolverine more than the Adamantium agenda. I think it's interesting that it's also going off on like its own story path, where it's like just like a twist where it's like, will this book even be about Wolverine for a few issues? Or is it like, now this book's about zombie and now that book is about Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, like figuring out what's going on, which is a very interesting path for some of these books to kind of go on.
Yeah, I mean, my gut feeling is that that's not Wolverine, that's not Logan.
Yeah, but didn't they say there was a clone at some point? Like when he's like, is that the clone or the son or the old one or the...
Yeah, I think when he said clone, he's referring to X-23.
Wow. No, he said the female one.
So, I mean, who knows? But clearly, there's not some clone that looks enough like him that would be him. So, my guess is... We'll find, obviously we're going to find out, but that wasn't who he was referring to. because it wasn't one of the known ones. I think when you talk about Wolverines that are out there, there's Dakin, there's X-23, there's Old Man Logan, and there's whatever that young Wolverine's name is. I can't remember what his name is. But that being said, I mean, if you look at all three series, I mean, which one would you pick to that you think a possible Logan signing would happen first? I'm probably not picking the one that has villains, right? I'm probably going to say, well, it'll probably be the one that has the X-Men, which I guess would be Mystery and Madripoor, which is coming out this week, actually, on the 23rd. That would have been my guess, rather than this one that has the villains. So
this would have been my second guess.
Really?
Like, just because it's very Wolverine specific, more than the Daredevil book or the Iron Man book, I'll call them. Like, those are very much like, he's part of those worlds, but this is closer to the X world, just like the X-Men book. Like, this is Sabretooth and his son and Lady Deathstrike, like the X-23 crew. I mean, the Weapon X crew. Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose that's true in a way. I don't know. I think, yeah, second. I don't know what I would have picked second. Yeah, you're probably right. I guess these are the characters that are most closely related to him, as opposed to his Secret Avengers team, or clearly the Daredevil one. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Charles Soule writes Daredevil. He wanted Daredevil to be a part of the series. I don't know.
Why not? It works.
Yeah, came up with a great idea. Let's go for it, right? So, yeah. That one might be my favorite so far, I think. Although, maybe we should wait and reserve judgment until we read Mystery in Madripoor. But one thing I noticed today, I'm going through solicits, you know, setting up scheduling for podcast recording and such. And I'm like, okay, so Weapon Lost came out last week on the 16th. We've got Mystery in Madripoor on the 23rd. This isn't actually, this May is actually a five Wednesday. One of the months of 2018 is going to have a fifth new comic day, if you will. And so I'm like, so it should be the second issue of whatever was the first series, which I guess would be the Daredevil, which is, how come I can't think of the name of it?
This one's always the hardest to remember name-wise.
This was the one I could never remember, Claws of the Killer. But we also had...
wasn't it just Weapon Lost?
Weapon Lost, that's it, yeah. So I'm like, okay, so it's going to be Weapon Lost number two, right? And so I go and I look at the solicits or the release dates for May 30th. There's no Hunt for Wolverine title.
We get a week off.
Like, wait, what? I was already complaining about the fact that they were releasing these one a week for like 16 weeks. I mean, that's going to take forever. Like, I just want the story already. And now you're telling me you're even taking weeks off? They're all monthly titles, apparently. So they're coming out once a month for 4 months. So get the first issue in May, second issue in June, third issue in July, fourth issue in August. And we know that there's some wrap-up book. Did we talk about that last time?
Yeah.
We did, right? Yeah. How there's some kind of a Hunt for Wolverine Omega. It's not called that, but...
something similar.
Yeah. So, you know, we don't... yeah, like you said, a week off, but we don't really... we don't really want to take a week off, right? I mean, we want to make sure that we give you listeners your money's worth, so... I think what we're going to do, and I haven't even told this to Nick yet, but that would be a good week to go back. Don't read the whole issue of each of them, but if we were to look at those issues where Wolverine did a cameo, you know, the legacy titles, and then we can just talk about...
Literally the last page.
Yeah, literally the last page of, and I had it open earlier, but I think I closed it. But let me.
One of them is a Captain America book.
Yeah, there's a Captain America one.
It's one with Kraven in it.
There's, I think there's an Amazing Spider-Man one.
It sounds right.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few different ones. So I thought that would be something fun we could do to kind of fill in the missing week. Plus, the other thing is coming up in just a few days from when this episode is being released is Phoenix Comic Fest, formerly known as Phoenix Comic Fan. There's going to be a writer there. Maybe some of you guys have heard of him. His name is Charles Soule. He's writing for Wolverine. So I know Charles. He's been on the show a few times. So I was thinking, no spoilers. I'm not going to sit him down and be like, okay, tell me what's going to happen. I mean, I might do that off the record. But I would love to sit down with Charles and just talk a little bit about the series. So we may do that. We'll see. I mean, I know I'm going to be talking to him about his recently released debut novel, The Oracle Year, which is absolutely incredible. I highly recommend it. But we may do a second interview to talk about this. And if we do, then we'll fold that in with the Wolverine Legacy, Where is Wolverine, one page, whatever, after scene credit or whatever you want to call it. I have the list here. It's Captain America 697, Amazing Spider-Man 794, Mighty Thor 703, Marvel 2-in-1 number 3, Black Panther 170, Avengers 680, Incredible Hulk 714, X-Men Red number 2, and Invincible Iron Man 598. So
I've read three of them.
so it's 9 books, but I mean, like you said, it's literally one page each, so we'd have to read.
And it's completely separate from the rest of the book, yeah. But I would probably read all those books because I like current Marvel.
So 9. Well, maybe I won't give you all the books. Maybe I'll just give you the last page.
Well, fine then. That's all I'll read.
We got enough to read, man. You're going to... So which of those have you read? You've said you're Captain America.
Yeah, but I wouldn't remember what the credit. If you could even just send the last page of those ones, I don't.
I would have to scale.
I would, because I read Avengers, Spider-Man, and Cap.
Yeah, it would be more trouble. It would be hard. I'd have to take a screenshot of each of the last pages and send
it to you. Just if you already have those books,
that's more work than.
I don't want to dig. Although I can dig them out, I have to dig them out because I got them physical somewhere.
I mean, we have some time here before, but yeah, well, that's what we'll be covering. I mean, again, this isn't next week, it's the following week, so we have a little time.
Okay.
Because next Tuesday we'll be talking about the book that comes out this Wednesday, which is
Mystery
in Madripoor. So we have a little time. So yeah, I guess we're done talking about Claws of the Killer. Yeah, a bit underwhelming, but now that I've read it for a second time today before we talked about it, I did find it to be a little more interesting, and this might be one of the ones that reads better as a trade, but I still would love to see this recolored. Could I get it recolored with some actual color, or just print it in black and white? Like, do one or the other. Print it in black and white so I can see the line work and enjoy like the rendering, as opposed to just this really bland palette, which
it kind of has a Walking Dead style to it.
Yeah, I could see.
Maybe that was intentional.
But I don't read The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I mean, neither do I, but it looks like the covers of Walking Dead, some of the art inside of that book, now that I think about it.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's Claws of the Killer. Worth picking up, I guess.
Zombies.
It's not a ringing endorsement. Maybe I'll say the jury's still out on this one, to be determined. On whether or not this one's worth your hard-earned cash. So let's talk a little bit about upcoming schedule while we have a little more time here. I mentioned Phoenix Comic Fest this week. So probably going to do quite a few interviews. I've reached out to some people, have heard back from some, others I have not. But just to give you an idea, some of the names that are going to be there. Adi Granov, Alan Davis, the legendary Alan Davis, Brian Azzarello, Greg Capullo, Scott Snyder, Tim Sale, Claus Janssen, Mark Farmer, Art Adams, Charles Soule, as I mentioned, Dan Panosian is going to be there, David Barron, Eric Canetti, Frank Cho, James Tynan IV, John Beatty, John Lehman, Jonathan Glapion, Joshua Williamson, Marguerite Bennett, yeah, and that's not to mention any of the, like, Michael Rooker from The Walking Dead and Greg Grunberg, who's done a bunch of stuff, including Star Wars. So it's like this huge who's who. It's a huge convention. I'm going to do as many interviews as time allows for. Probably won't have all of those people on the podcast, but we'll definitely get, I'm sure I'll get David Barron on, Dan Panosian. We'll probably talk. I don't know if we'll, because him and I have been talking about having him come on to talk about his slots series. So we may do that at the show, and then I'll play it probably in about a week. I may hold that one for a little while until Slots Volume 1 is about ready to drop. And Capullo and Snyder, I'd love to have them on again. Scott Snyder's been on the show a couple times. Greg Capullo's never been on the show, actually. But the problem with getting those guys on is they're so popular. They have a line like the entire time. So sometimes we'll set something up before the show or after the show. But, you know, that means them meeting me somewhere early before the show starts. And honestly, it's pretty exhausting for them because they're like on for, you know, whatever, like 9 hours a day signing and interacting with fans. So we'll see. Probably I'll have Joshua Williamson on for sure. I'd love to have John Beatty come on and talk about Secret Wars. You know, we just finished up the Secret Wars, the classic maxi series, and he inked every issue of that. So for sure we'll have him on, and we can play that on one of the Secret Wars Saturdays. I think that would be a lot of fun. So yeah, if you're in the area, I think Phoenix Comic Con's a really, really great show. So that's coming up. If you are going to be at the show, be sure and track me down. I will have a special giveaway for all fans and listeners of the podcast. So just come and hit me up, and I'll be happy to give you one free of charge. So other things that we have coming up, mentioned on our last Secret Wars Saturday, we're going to be starting Secret Wars 2 in about a week. This week, we're going to be talking about the run of Thing, where he stayed behind on the planet. And then next week, we'll dive into Secret Wars 2, number 1. So that's on June 2nd. We've got an interview with Frank Thierry about his Pestilence series from Aftershock coming up on Monday. On this Thursday's Top Cow Thursday, I got a chance to speak to Brian Haberlin, who's the artist on Medieval Spawn Witchblade, which that book was a whole heck of a lot of fun. And what I didn't realize until Brian showed me at the show, there's AR in that book. And you get an iPad and you don't have to like scan a code or anything. You like just get it. You download the app on the iPad and then you just aim the iPad at the book and like it immediately knows what it's looking at and it calls up other versions of the page. And you can kind of swipe your finger down on the iPad and you can get like just the pencils. You can get the pencils and inks. You can get just the colors with no word balloons. It's super cool. Plus the other thing you can do is you can point it at yourself if you have the app going and hit a button and it puts the medieval spawn mask on you. And you can basically take a selfie as a medieval spawn. So I really encourage you guys to check out the interview that it'll be coming up this Thursday. So I'm also going to be releasing another episode today. If you're listening to this, be advised. There's also a news episode coming out, the same day. We have so much content that we're producing now. There's more content and episodes than there are days of the week. So, we appreciate the support. And if you want some thoughts on some recent comic news, as well as, a quick little, probably 10-minute recap of Comic-Con Revolution that I attended this last Saturday in Ontario, California, I encourage you guys to go and check out the other episode. Anything else we want to add, Nick?
Nope. Just looking forward to the next one.
Mystery and Madripoor. Yeah, only a couple days away. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening. Don't forget, you can go to lrmonline.com to listen to all past episodes of the podcast. Twitter.com/thecomicsource is where we can be found on Twitter. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. While you're at LRM Online checking out the previous episodes, don't forget to check out all our other content covering pop culture, movies, TV shows, all that kind of good stuff. So thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.